Good evening, good evening, good evening. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. And I said it, and who's going to check me for it? It's your boy, Dre. Welcome to the brothers. We are excited to have you here. And, of course, as always, when we come live, we come correct with our co-host all the way down in Charm City. Where you got to be more careful. You got none other than my boy, Maurice. Say what's good to the people.
What's up there, people? What's good?
I love when Maurice uses street terms. And then all the way live from Philly, which is the home of brotherly love, the city of brotherly love, the home of the NFC East champions that went all the way to the bowl but couldn't fly back home with a ring. Other than your boy, Javon. In the building. Say what's up to the people.
What's up?
We are excited to be back on your Blog Talk Radio, on your iPads, on your iPhones, on your PCs, on your whatever way you listening to us, car radio. It don't matter. We here now, baby. And we're here for a whole nother awesome week. All right, let's go ahead and kick this thing off with some hot topics. Let's kick it off with Wendy Williams announces that she is, quote-unquote, formally retired, and she's interested in joining some tables as a hot topic guest. One thing that she named individually is that she would love to be at the table on The View as a guest. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know.
Sit down.
I mean, do y'all really think Wendy, I think Wendy should just be down? Like, do y'all think she should just take the time and call it a day? Like, you know, what do y'all think?
Sit down. I think she needs to, you know, worry about her health. I think she should sit down. That's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, sit down. Sit down, Wendy.
Javon, what you thinking?
I really don't know. I don't know if she has the capability to come back the way she thinks she does.
Okay.
Oh, she just wants to be guest hosting, a guest on.
She just wants to guest host. She doesn't want to so much be a permanent guest on The View, but she would love to sit down and do a roundtable of hot topics with the ladies on The View.
Sit down, Wendy.
Now, are we saying sit down because it's The View, or are we saying...
Sit down, like, sit down, like, sit down, like, sit down.
I heard that.
We love you, Wendy, but sit down.
I know that's right.
I mean, give it a rest.
Sweetie Pie star Tim Norman is asserting his innocence on Instagram. He posted on February the 23rd that he's still in disbelief. The feds know 100% that he did not do those insurance policies. This is reading directly verbatim what he typed, but the jury didn't get to hear that. And not one person got on the stand and said that I told them to hurt my nephew. They destroyed my name and image so you guys wouldn't search for the truth. They from what the allegedly saying is that, and what he's been charged for, is killing his nephew, Robbie Montgomery. Andre Montgomery, and apparently it was over a $450,000 insurance policy, or several insurance policies that totaled $450,000, and it said that he attempted to cash in the policies just days after his death, and after more of 17 hours of deliberations, the jury on September 16th issued a guilty verdict on all charges, including conspiracy to commit murder for hire resulting in death, and conspiracy to commit murder and mail and wire fraud. They said that Norman conspired with an exotic dancer in Memphis and others to use a facility of interstate commerce, namely a cell phone, to commit a murder for hire in exchange for U.S. currency. The defense attorney, Michael Leonard, said Norman obtained life insurance policies on his nephew because Montgomery's budding rap career involved him getting into potentially deadly street conflict further, the attorney argued that his client was financially well off and had no need for a fraudulent life insurance policy. However, FBI agent presented texts in the trial, which Norman told his cousin that he was recently evicted from his apartment, had more than $91,000 in monthly expenses, but no income from the TV show. I personally think he did it, but he's on Instagram and he's crying that it wasn't him.
Sit down, Tim. He did it. That's like, okay, so having watched Sweetie Pies and noticed and, you know, watching that show, again, it doesn't tell you that, you know, reality TV doesn't really show you the ins and outs of a person. So I really can't say that he was crazy. But it just sounds kind of very suspect about the life insurance policy. Then his nephew dies. Then, you know, his nephew dies the way he does. So it's just kind of shaky for me to hear all of that. But I just say, sit down, Sam. Yeah, sit down. Because I read it, and they pinged, they pinged his cell phone off a tower close by. So it's a couple of things that just sounds shady. Oh, wait a minute. He's not in jail?
He's in jail. You know, they have cell phones in jail now. They're allowed to go on social media.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they have TikTok and
we praying for you. Praying for you, Sam, but sit down, okay?
I ain't praying for him. Jerron, what's your thought?
It's just a track record of stuff, because when he was dating Jennifer Williams from Basketball Wives, when they broke up, he trashed her car, he was stalking her, she had to take court. It's like a building of wrongdoing. I think he did it.
Yeah. Well, he definitely has a track record for putting his hands on women. Even his baby's mama, that was on the show with them, she even spoke about how violent he is towards women. I haven't. When it comes to men, apparently he don't put his hands on them. He hires somebody else to do it, allegedly. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't rule it out. Personally, I'll be like, you know, I personally do feel like he did it. I feel like the issue is now he's learning from it, and he don't know how to handle the message of what he's learning. That's how I personally feel. In other news, Dwayne Wade's daughter officially granted legal name change and gender change. Zaya Wade is now officially Zaya Malachi Aramis Wade. She has kept her middle name and her last name, of course, but she changed her first name, and she is legally now identified as a female. Of course, we know his ex-wife is not happy about this. I think it's a win on behalf of the Wades, and I feel like, you know, if this is what makes Zaya happy, who are we to argue about how Zaya feels? What do you guys feel?
I'm in agreement with you on that. I feel like because T.S. Madison shared her thoughts, and, you know, Zaya's not having any surgery right now. It's a name change. At any point, if Zaya decides that this is not what I want to do, I can go back, and it's just my name. That's permanent. So at that point, I feel like, you know, if that's what, you know, they felt was needed, then that needs to happen. I have no problems with that. My thing is, we just need to just be quiet and let them, their Zaya's parents. So they know. So that's all I'm going to say on that.
People say the name every day. It's just the name change.
Absolutely. NAACP Awards was real big this year. So to hear the backdrop of it was hilarious. The amount of rain they received in LA was crazy. So to hear the backdrop of everything and the number of people who actually were, believe it or not, soaking wet while they filmed the award show itself, kudos to the NAACP for pulling off something that looked so excellent, especially underneath of tents. In the middle of a heavy rainfall, everybody who was anybody was there. Ben Crump receiving the award, Serena Williams receiving the award, Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union Wade receiving the award, Viola Davis receiving the award, Sherry Shepherd, my girl, hey Auntie, she receiving the award, Angela Bassett receiving the award, Brittany Griner made her first onstage appearance. Her voice was deeper than mine. Dwayne Wade and Barry White combined. But we don't know. Did an awesome job hosting the show. I believe it was a great, great show. Very, very good. One of the best award shows to me that really airs. I'm excited, and it's good to see Black people strong on the NAACP Awards. And the only thing I would have changed is the fact that as soon as the people got on stage, the band started playing them all. But other than that, it was I personally.
Oh, that's probably because of time. That's probably because of time and making sure that everything flows. I get it.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well. I'm glad you brought the NAACP Awards up because I don't know if you all know the little controversy about the show P-Valley. As you know, P-Valley actually won for best drama, I think, at the NAACP.
Money.
Huh?
I was singing the song. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So P-Valley won for best drama at the NAACP Awards. If you don't know anything about what's happening, so apparently Nikki Gilbert of Brownstone had a play, and she pitched a version of her play as a TV series. But apparently the playwright Katori Hall had stole her ideas and so Nikki Gilbert is currently in the process of litigation against Katori Hall, who produces Starz mm-hmm. Network is who's owned by, I don't know who Starz is owned by. So she's in the process of suing them because, of course, she pitched this idea, she copywrote this play, and her ideas have been stolen. This is from Nikki Gilbert. So she was not happy that P-Valley won an NAACP award. She was not happy at all. So we're going to look to see how that plays out. Huh?
Sit down, Nikki Gilbert.
I was about to say, this is like a third network she's been trying to sue.
Who else did she try to sue?
She tried to sue TV1. And she tried to sue We Network.
She tried to sue them for R&B Divas?
For TV One, it was R&B Divas. And for We Network, it was a show that she claimed never got on air. But then they produced a show that was just like what she said she pitched to them.
Well, at this point, it's not about originality as much as it used to be. Concerning Hollywood and TV shows, as you the constant reboots of TV shows, movies. So I'm not saying that she probably did. That's not true. But I think that we have to be careful when we're saying if a show, so many shows mirror other shows nowadays.
Yeah.
There's so many TV shows that mirror current TV shows and TV shows that were once pitched. It's ridiculous. Shows from the 70s. I get it, but we have to be careful when we say, oh, they stole my idea. It's interesting that this is, because this is my first time hearing about that she sued. But why was she suing for R&B Divas? I thought R&B Divas was Faith Evans' idea.
She sued, because Faith Evans got the credit that she claimed she deserved. And it was,
oh my God,
she feels like Faith got the bulk of the money. I heard it through the grapevine, Nicki need to sit down and go back to touring, but we gonna leave that alone. Like, you know, next she gonna sue Tyler Perry. I really think she's gonna become the next Monique of Hollywood. I'm not gonna holler at it. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, that's how I personally feel, because it's like every time something's successful and it mimics something that she felt like had her name on it, it's like an issue. And she's known for it. She's known for just causing unnecessary drama that she ends up losing in, and then it's like, okay. Like, everybody's like, oh, Monique won. I don't believe Monique won. I just think people got tired of hearing her bitch every day on Facebook. Every time you turned around, it was good morning, baby. Like, people just got sick of. You notice she ain't called nobody a baby since she got these contracts. So,
my concern is, again, you know, this constant back and forth about who has the rights. Nobody really has the rights to a lot of things. Again, like when you copyright something, I get you don't want your ideas to be stolen, but you also have to be careful that this is Hollywood. So the stuff you're pitching is prone to be something very similar to your show. It's like, you know, from the 60s, like you had the idea of Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. They were on at the same time. One was Bewitched was more popular than Andre Medini, but it's the same kind of premise. It was the same premise, but no one's complaining. Like, TV shows and movies have the ability to be stolen, and because, again, they're very similar. And like I said, it's not much that's original anymore. It's a copy of a copy.
Absolutely. And, I mean, no matter how you look at it, everything mimics real Hollywood wives anyway, or Real Housewives of Hollywood anyway. Like, I just feel like the whole Housewives series has caused a whole dramatic influence on Hollywood. So it's really a shame to me to even break your neck to try to sue over something. I mean, don't get me wrong, Peak Valley is very prestigious now, and Peak Valley has caused has gained great income and great notoriety. But at the end of the day, you know, it's off the air. You know, Starz, I don't believe, is bringing it back, even though they're fighting to see what Starz is going to do. And then it's Nikki Gilbert. Like, come on, girl.
Well, actually, Starz is bringing it back to 2024 because they were anticipating a writer's strike in 2023.
Okay.
So they had already been renewed, but because they were anticipating this writer's strike, they haven't started filming. And we also have to think about this. You cannot copyright an idea. You can only copyright a work. TV show that's done, movie, music, an idea is not copyrightable. So she can't say she copyrighted the idea of P-Valley. She may have, even when you look at the comparison between Play and P-Valley, they're not similar at all. Like, you can find a Play on YouTube. They're not similar at all. That's in her mind.
That's true.
That's interesting.
That is true.
Because I had never heard of her play, I mean, I saw a clip of it, and then I've never watched P-Valley, so I can't really tell you what I've seen. So I would have to literally watch P-Valley in order for me to, you know, in order to say, okay, I believe it. oh no, this is a or this oh this is a carbon copy of the same. You know what I'm saying? This is a carbon copy.
Correct. Definitely understand that.
Oh, yeah. And then I agree with you so much. Like, you can't copyright an idea. I mean, it's an idea. At the end of the day, everybody has the same idea as you. And, you know, or someone has a very similar idea. It's not yours, per se, but somewhere along the line, you might see it produced again. But that's not, I don't know. I just, like I said, I just think that it's already, there's, I mean, the originality that we have, it's gone anyway. It's leaving. So I don't know. I take issue with when I hear stuff like, it's the same. Y'all had it first.
Yeah, Hollywood has seen its share of crybabies. Speaking of people who have gotten smacked in Hollywood, Chris Rock is back with a new comedy special that promises to be hilarious. It is Netflix's first live stream comedy show entitled Chris Rock Collective Outrage. This show will have a pre-show before the show and the show after the show with powerhouse included guests like Arsenio Hall, Leslie Jones, Deion Cole, Cedric Entertainer, Kevin Hart, Wanda Sykes, JB Smooth, and the pre-show will be hosted by Ronnie Chang. I believe this is going to be Netflix moneymaker of the year, especially compared to Monique, who really, a lot of people, if you Monique's comedy show, which comes out, a lot of people are saying it's irrelevant. And just like her, whatever that flick was she just did, a lot of people just aren't going to watch the show. You know, they did a poll, and the consensus said about 56%, I believe, said that they're not even going to tune in for Monique on Netflix. However, about 82% said that they are tuning in for Chris Rock. What do you guys feel?
Well, you and I had this conversation, and I already told you, I'm not a fan of Chris Rock. And so I will not necessarily be watching his stand up, but yay, Chris! Go, Chris! I'm proud. I'm happy.
Everybody hates Chris.
I don't hate him. I just don't find him funny. And yeah, I'm on the winning side. I didn't. Agree. Of course, I definitely did not agree with Will Smith laughing at him. But I just don't find, I never found him funny.
Gotcha.
Chris. Yeah, Chris. Go, Chris.
Javon, what you think?
We're talking about Monique. We're talking about Chris Watt. We end up with some more. Some more comedy special without now.
And it's hilarious.
Let's talk about what's already out.
It is very much hilarious. I have watched Chris Rock's, I have watched Monique Samore's comedy show, and it is absolutely hilarious. I believe it's called Queen Chandelier on Netflix now. Because she's a queen of comedy, and like a chandelier baby, she's priceless. The chick is on point. I enjoyed it. I definitely did. It was everything I expected from a Samore show. But to me, from the ones that have been televised, it has definitely been one of her best.
Okay. Go Samore, girl.
It's so hard to host a comedy, host this podcast. Y'all are off the chain. Congratulations to podcast host, as well as talk show host, as well as actress, as well as game show host, Kiki Palmer, who gave birth to a beautiful first child, baby boy, and his name is Leotis. Oh, that's the old name.
Leotis.
Leotis. Andrelton Jackson, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Her and her boyfriend Darius Jackson, why they got regular names and this baby got their slave name? Congratulations, Kiki.
Thank you, Kiki girl. Call that baby Leo and not Leo.
She's going to call the baby Leo. His nickname is Leo.
She probably, most likely, when she get mad at him, she's going to call him Leotis. She's going to call him by his full name. Leotis, get in here. Leotis, it's dinner time.
Leotis, I know you see them streetlights on. Bless the Lord, that poor baby is going to be shot for life.
I mean, it could be worse. I mean, there are some actors and actresses that their baby's name is like Coco, Apple,
North Seven.
Huh?
South.
Blue. North. Blue. Sir. I mean, yeah. It could be worse. I'm okay with Leotis.
I'm not okay with Leotis, though. Absolutely, positively, unequivocally not okay with Leotis. Judge Mathis has signed with another network. He will be back on an all-black network. He will be with Byron Allen's Allen Media Company with a whole new show. And they're thinking it's going to be good. I'm quite frankly tired of seeing Judge Mathis. What do y'all think?
Yay, Judge Mathis. I don't mind Judge Mathis. Again, I'm more lenient towards the people's court.
Hey, the people's court! They're just really on!
But, yeah, Judge Mathis. I would like to see what Judge Mathis would do with a talk show versus a court show.
Only if the talk show don't come out and turn out to be like Steve Wilcox's show.
I don't think he would be doing that. I just feel like it would be more educational. But as long as he wouldn't call people crackheads, I'm good.
He told somebody he's gonna call them crackheads. Yeah, he doesn't want to call them a crackhead though. Is it just me or do y'all think Judge Mathis needs to get rid of his look altogether?
What look is that?
I mean, you know, like, you know, he has, like, the 1990 Steve Harvey look to me, even though his fro was a little rounded instead of more boxed, but, you know, like, I think he needs to change his look.
See anything wrong with it. I don't.
I never heard about it.
Yeah, I just think. Man.
I'm gonna make you laugh. I started noticing that a lot of older guys get you can only when you start to thin, your hair starts to thin, you can only do but so much with it. So maybe this is the same as hair, I don't know.
It's horrible to me. And the last hot topic on tonight is Nick Cannon is a father of 12 and said he's going to stop having kids when the Lord tells him to stop having kids. How do we feel about that?
Don't care.
He ain't my daddy.
Right. I don't care. I mean, that's a lot of child support. That's a lot of taking care of children. So,
is he really paying child support? Though, I mean, he kind of is a billionaire almost. I don't really think.
I mean, good luck. I could care either less. Either way, like, good luck, Nick. I mean, you made him.
Nick. I heard that.
He'd be all right.
You be alright. I heard that. Yep. All right, so that brings us to tonight's topic of red flag friends. We're in a time where TLC said, "What about your friends?" And where they stand your ground, where they hold you down, where they let you down. We got a lot of things that we have that we call friends, and we have a lot of things that we judge our friends on, or not judge, but we hold as quality and characteristics of friends. But there are a lot of friendships I'm learning nowadays where there are a lot of red flags that have been shown for years. And the question is, do we choose to ignore the red flags, or should we uphold up to the red flags? Joining us from PG County is educator, wife, and my sister, Christine Bolden, is in the building, and she is going to give us her intake tonight on red flag friends. What's going on, Christine?
Hey, everybody. How are y'all?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great introduction. I couldn't even do that myself. It's good to be with you guys.
Red flag friendship. Like, you know, what do you feel? What do you feel, Christine, is the main reason that these red flags are showing so prevalent in today's times?
So I think the red flags actually really starts from early childhood, when you go into like pre-K and early, and what the teachers say, everyone is your friend, and you hold on to that concept for a very long time. And I was thinking when I was, you know, I had to be prepared to come to the brothers. So I did a little research, right? And I was thinking to myself that I've prayed about everything but friendship. I never had to. I never thought I had to. I prayed about, I mean, even down to, Lord, please let my hair grow. You know, everything. Let this check clear, all of that. I've never prayed about friendship. So I think that is the first original flag. Of a red flag of what is your prayer life telling you what you need to do to connect to certain people. I think the classic red flag is it can go down the line, and I'm going to put this out to the brothers, is that your friends should be able to hold you accountable. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. That's not saying any of that. So your friends should be able to sit you down and say, hey, you're not doing what you need to do. You're not making the goals that you need to make. And this is, they don't make fun of you, right? They don't talk about you behind your back, but they should be able to hold you accountable. They also talk about, there's so many verses that talk about friendship. And another one says that Job's friends came together to figure out what they're going to do with Job. And they said to Job, sometimes a good friend has to come to be and meet you where you are. And if that means you sitting in soot, that's what they need to do. So I think that there's a couple red flags. To answer your question, I think people are realizing what their network is, and they're realizing their potential. And if it's your friends are not doing anything that's better than you or getting to where you need to go, then those red flags come up. For sure.
All right. She's trying to throw me in the pulpit.
I had to come correct the brothers. I couldn't come.
I'm trying to build friendship and network. I had to come correct. I can't come all. So.
You could have came as Christine. This Christine is possible. This is the hood church. This ain't the AME.
I can do that too. You know that, Apostle. You know I can. That's for sure. But no, I think that this has been touched onto my heart for a very long time, just because I've been really mindful of the energies that I've been inquiring. I've really been trying to make sure that not only am I working on myself, but I'm also making sure of what I allowed into my and what I allow into my mind. And so friendship is near and dear because I've always been my own friend for a very long time. I couldn't understand why I couldn't make friends or why I couldn't just be with a group, but I wasn't supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to get along with everybody. And I think that is something that we don't necessarily talk about. I've been that friend that's paid a whole lot of money for folks. Oh, we going on a trip? We all going on a trip. I got it. You got it. But not realizing they're not connecting with that energy with me. And so this is very near, dear to my heart. I got stories for days and friendships that have really scarred. And I said this on my own social media platform, but that to me is the worst PTSD that I've ever had has been with friendships, not even with relationships. And I don't think people talk that about enough, you know, about you having to recover from a friendship that you thought was going to last. You didn't think it was going to end, or you didn't think that you guys were going to outgrow each other. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, listen, our listeners, those who want to call in, you definitely can feel free to call in. Also, 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083. She definitely touched on a lot of different angles and areas that I think we don't really adhere to. And I really do feel like it does need to start really in, like she said, in grade school, where we can, you know, really tell these young people that everybody is not guaranteed to be your friend. We have to teach them early that it's okay if someone says they don't want to be around you. In fact, I just had this discussion today, which is crazy, because we have one of our students who just melted because somebody didn't want to be his friend. And I said, dude, you know, you're going to go through life with people who don't want to be your friend or don't want to be, you know, I said, if I could just be 100% with you when you're even in your atmosphere at times. But, you know, it's how you handle it instead of, instead of having this major breakdown. Let's look at a different way to do, you know, to handle this. And so we found him some people who wanted to be his friend, and he got along okay once we found those people for him. But we are taught at a young age that, you know, we're supposed to be friendly to everybody. We're supposed to make friends with everybody. We're supposed to have a bunch of friends to be popular. You got to have a bunch of friends to be noticeable. You got to have a bunch of friends to be this or be that. And then we take it a step further as the grades continue, because then you got to, you know, kiss butt to become homecoming queen, prom queen. So these are things that I think really, really, it starts like you said in grade school and even in our young homes, into young minds and homes. And we have to figure out how to handle this. Maurice, what do you feel about this situation?
I can feel I can feel it. I'm with you.
Yo, it's funny that she brought that up because I was telling I started therapy, and one of the things that I told I had like three therapists. I had two great ones, but they just left me. I told the first one, I said, I would like to have friendships where I am not always the giver. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I told him, I said, I feel like my friends are, and it's true, all my friends are younger than me, but I'm always giving to them. I'm always selling out. It's never giving back to me. And so when it came to friendships, because I never had, the funny thing is one day I was reflecting on when I was in high school, and I realized I did not have friends in high school. It wasn't until I was in college where I had friends, where I started developing friendships and developing people that I, you know, that were somewhat friends, and it wasn't close friends. That wasn't until I was an adult where I developed close friendships. And so it was kind of weird looking back at that, looking back at my life and looking at it from a, you know, after reflecting like that, that sometimes friendships are one-sided. Like, you're the one who's the friend that's the giver, or you're the friend that's the honest one, or you're the friend that's the one that's always, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And never, but it's sometimes friendship can be one-sided. And I do agree, like, it starts in grade school where you are told you are friends, you need to be friends with everybody. And that's not how it should be. There are some people that are not your friends. I work with high school students, and they recognize that everybody is not their friend. They're starting to get it. They're starting to understand that truly everybody is really not their friend because of some of the stuff that's happened. Some of the stuff that your so-called friends will leave you high and dry, and you get in trouble, but they get off scot-free. So they're starting to realize that everybody truly is not their friend.
Javon?
I had a different experience. I was on the end of the spectrum because I was the fat, smart kid. I knew everybody was my friend. Because if you can be my friend when I'm helping you with homework and then turn around and call me a fat ass, we're not friends. And learning how to handle what I want you for your stuff but not want you has been the test of my life. And learning how to gauge where I am and where other people are has also been a test because people show up at the most opportune times for them, but most odd times for you. They show up and they sound like they have the right wording and the right language and so forth and so on until you need encouragement, or you need help, or you need a friend. Because it's one thing to be friend entitled. It's another thing to be friend in action. And I think as people are learning more about themselves and more about what they fit in their space, they see the red flags and they deal with the red flags when they see them.
Facts. So let me ask you guys this. What do you do when you're the friend who's the giver, or you're the friend who has everybody's back, or you're the friend who never allows the phone to ring more than three times, or you're the friend who always is the comforter, the confidant, the counselor, the motivational speaker, the pusher, the dreamer, the I got you, the let's do, the let's go, the let's have, the let's eat, the let's come through, the you need somewhere to crash, you can crash here. Oh, don't worry about it as long as you need to. But then you find out that it's the persons or the people or the persons you've been helping the most who's been talking about you the most. What do you feel? How do you get through the situation? B, how do you heal from the hurt? And that can go for anybody.
That was low.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Maurice.
Okay. So that is me. That everything you just said, except for that one part where I'm the one, like, I'm Harris gets mad at me because Dre gets mad at me because I'm the friend that'd be like, I can't go because I got this going on.
You're never lying.
So We're going to get over that.
Every time I have a brother's day, this fool, I got to go to church. Where the church going? The church ain't going nowhere.
How you get over that is you learn to set boundaries. One thing that my new therapist is teaching me is setting boundaries, like being intentional with setting boundaries, being intentional and saying this with you all, I'm not, the things I did before, I'm not doing that again. So these are the boundaries. If you don't have money, say you don't have money or don't go. because I'm not coming out my pocket to rescue everybody. Sometimes, and the word no is your best friend. The word no is your best friend. You have to say no. You have to put your foot down. You have to stand by it. Can't say no one time and then four other times you taking care of everything. Sometimes say no and mean exactly what you said. And I had to learn that no was my best friend. Not set boundaries because they are important. And, you know, and then with healing, it's just understanding that you are not Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. You're not the Justice League. You are Maurice. You are Dre. You are who you are, and it's your role to save only one person, and that's yourself.
You want to touch on that?
I agree with setting boundaries. I also agree that we as individuals need to learn not to be people's Superman, because when you become somebody else's Superman, they get to determine your kryptonite. They get to determine what your weakness is. So if you don't have control over my Superman status, you also don't have control over what can destroy me. And healing is a process. But you have to protect your energy. You have to protect your peace. You have to protect yourself. So you may need to remove yourself from the situation. You may need to get that person out of your life. You may need to do any number of things that work for you. And don't settle for what other people feel you should do to protect your peace. Because when they're not around, they have nothing to do with your peace. So they don't have a right to tell you how to get to your peace or protect it.
Well said. That was well said.
It was both well said. I'm from the hard-headed section of this podcast. I think that it had to take a big shift for me to kind of make decisions. And I can only speak from my perspective. The lockdown of COVID kind of really had me set in and really look at my friendships. Because before that, I'm like, we are going out, we're doing this, I'm hanging out with this person. I'm the strong friend. And so it had to take a major shift or a major thing or something had to happen for me to look at the situation. And I think what you guys have said is the spot on of what you need to do. But I think what makes red flag friendships so deadly is that people will be going through it for years and be living in it. Mm-hmm. And if something doesn't break within themselves or a situation or death or, you know, something major like that, that's the only way they're going, let me look at my friendship. Because you can really still be in it. I've talked to people about this a lot, and the first thing we say is if you're in a bad relationship, get out of it. Like, people have answers for that. But when it comes to friendship, there's an excuse there. Well, you've known them for years. You know, they've been around, you know, Pookie and them been around for years. Why would you leave them like that? And so I have to be honest, like I said, from the hard-headed section, I had to be beaten down for me to realize, okay, I don't have that circle that I thought I had. And I wasn't even looking for a circle. I wasn't even someone that wanted a lot of friends. I knew very early. I was from the fat girl section too. So I knew for very early I wasn't going to get that much friends. I grew up in Arlington, Virginia, and it wasn't that many of us women of color either. So I was like, two or three, I'm good. Like, I'm good with that. But I had to realize when life was kind of caving in and life was lifing that I realized I don't have that. I don't, and I started to realize certain friends were leeches. And they were only attached to me when something bad was going on.
Right.
And it was always something bad. There's something that, and I'm going to loosely quote Kiki Palmer just because I totally agree. She was saying that stop saying I'm going to be your devil's advocate. We talk to a friend and you're about to start something. Oh, yeah, I'm going to start this new business, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I just want to be your devil's advocate. I don't need you to be that. I don't need you to be the bad or give me the bad or connect me only to the bad. And that's what I was noticing. Like, I'm free. I'm open. I'm telling you. I would tell you my story because I know where God has brought me from. But I was starting to look at the people who had the popcorn and sipping the tea. I was like, oh, yeah, let me hear more bad stuff. This tastes good. And I start to realize that, like, that's not a friend. You were only connected because something bad was happening. But when things were happening for me and things were changing for me, it was, well, you know, it may not last. And I'm like, I'm like, hold on, wait. What do you mean by not? You know, it didn't happen before. And those little seeds, it's never been blatant. I would say in my experience is when you talk to someone and after you talk to them, they're draining. That's a vampire.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
And after you talk to them, you're like, okay, so, hey, you guys, I just want to let you know this is what I'm doing. Oh, really? It didn't work last time. I'm just saying. I'm just being supportive. That's what they flip it. I'm just being supportive. I'm just looking after you. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're not looking after me. You're not being there for me. You know what I mean? You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's what you're waiting for. So I think all what you guys have said have been great, creating boundaries and all those different things. But I think the more of the story, if I want to be real, is you got to find yourself again. And I had to find myself again. What I like, what I didn't like, what I wanted to have, what type of friend I wanted to have. That's what I was saying. I've never prayed for a friendship because I've always thought, okay, that's cool. You meet someone, we have the same interests, we hang out, things work out. But I had to literally be very conscious of what type of friend I wanted to have. And if that type of friend means that they just take me out to dinner for no reason, perfect. Because I did that for everyone else. Birthdays was there. Gifts was there. Something happened to your cousin around the way, I was there. Oh, you need a driver? You need a designated driver? Sure, I was there. You need the drink? I was always there because I only knew how to be a strong friend. That was supposed to be my character trait. That's all I knew to do. That's how I kept friends. Oh, let me be the strong one. And I think when you start to go back to your roots of what makes me happy, that's the only way you can create boundaries. That's the only way that you can be like, no, this is what I need and this is what I need to have. And do know that you change. Friendships are going to change because you change.
Right.
You might need the cruise friends now. You grown and sexy. So you need the friend on a cruise. You don't need the friend that just wants to go around the corner. Y'all on two different levels now. You want to travel. Your friend don't. And I just think that we need to have that conversation. I think it's so easy to bring up, like, there's so many relationship books, y'all. Y'all know that. How to deal with your family. How to deal with a significant other. How to deal with coworkers. But it's never anything about friendship, and that is honestly the heart of a lot of people's pain is friendship, for sure.
I think the other thing that you brought out about you're the strong friend. I was a friend that took care of everybody, to the detriment of myself. I'm a friend that, oh, you don't got no place to stay? Come stay with me. I'll take care of you. Oh, come live with me. I'll do this. But do this. Oh, you ain't got no money? Oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You know, I'm that friend. And I'm noticing that, again, like when you're that friend, it's easy for people to take advantage of you because you're that friend.
Mm-hmm.
You're that friend. And then at the detriment of your own self, you find yourself without, and then you're depressed, you're sad, you're lonely, because, and then they're living their best life.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't got nothing to show for it because guess what? You took them in. And you did this and you did that. And this is, I'm that friend. And then once I got the vision of who I was and started realizing that I cannot do this anymore, like you recognize, oh, yeah, I sacrificed a lot for
mm-hmm.
people who didn't sacrifice for me.
Mm-hmm. And then you was acting brand new, right? Because when you
I never got
okay.
acting brand new. Because
okay.
if I get I'm acting brand new, then they're going to. They don't want that work.
Okay.
They don't want that work. Because like how am I acting brand new? Just because listen, when you needed me, I was there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now the moment that I'm telling you I'm no longer opening that door, I'm acting brand new because I wasn't acting brand new. I'm taking care of me. And in the end of it all, I'm taking care of me. Because I can't if I'm not happy, then how can this work? Like,
mm-hmm.
no, like, stop that. Like, and you know, it's funny you said that because people do that.
Mm-hmm.
You stop taking care of them. You stop doing stuff for them. They get angry. They get mad. And they tell you, oh, you acting brand new.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Because the services mm-hmm. wasn't supposed to stop. Just because you taking care of yourself, you're supposed to continue to do that.
Man, listen, these people are nuts. People are nuts in 2023. Like, I never realized that there are so many people who want to be taken care of. They don't want to do anything for themselves. They want somebody to take care of them. And
mm-hmm.
it's scary because you want someone to take care of you. You don't want to take care of yourself? Like, what?
So if you could speak to your 12-year-old self regarding friendships, let's go back further. If you could speak to your 6-year-old self concerning friendships, what would you tell yourself?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Or... not necessarily run, but why? In making these choices.
Okay.
Or keep
really
your eyes open.
Yeah, keep your eyes open. Yeah.
Mhm. Because actions never lie. It don't matter how much of someone's going to try to cover it up or lie multiple times. If you sit there and watch someone close enough, eventually the actions will be revealed. So just have your eyes open. Be a little more alert. Yeah. But run, definitely.
Open your eyes and run.
I will also say love yourself because I think
mm-hmm.
one of the things about friendship is learning how to love yourself truly from a pure place. Because I think many of us wouldn't have gotten to the friendship that we had if we wasn't necessarily looking and searching for something. Some of us are looking for validation or looking for acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we got into some of these friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were necessarily, we're looking to be validated and to be loved. So we gotten through some friendships or gotten through some situations that was not healthy.
Do you feel that parenting plays a role in the type of friends we choose?
Most definitely.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Most definitely. I think for me, I was raised up in the church, so the only friends I had was the church at one point in time, and
no,
that wasn't healthy.
No.
Yeah, that wasn't healthy either, right?
Jesus,
I got stories for days. Those youth but no, I think parenting plays a huge factor because I don't remember ever my mother really having, and that's who raised me, I don't ever remember someone that I felt like she ever called her friend either. She had associates, and she was big on hospitality and big on, like, being there for everyone else. But I just don't have any recollection of, like, she was like, yeah, that's my good girl. It was like, I'm going to go take care of someone. And I do think, I know for sure I embodied that early on mm-hmm. because I saw it. And I also think that another thing that played a factor too is that because when I grew up in Arlington, it was, there were Black folks, but it was economically different, right? And so the friends that I was around weren't, you know, they didn't have the same financial structure. So she was already telling me, oh, you can't be there. You can't trust them. So even mm-hmm. though my inner circle that I will see and have Girl Scouts or be in elementary school, I was always taught not to get close to them. So therefore, I couldn't even if there was a good friend in the diamond in the rough, I didn't even allow myself to be vulnerable enough to be, because I was always told I can't trust them. They gonna look down at you as a poor Black girl. Don't do it. Mm-mm. And who knows? I could have. I mean, everything happens for a reason. But I was denied of a really good friendship, or maybe I wasn't a good friend. These red flags are not just for everybody else. Sometimes you need to take account of when you wasn't a good friend. Maybe I wasn't a good friend to those folks. Therefore, I couldn't foster those relationships early on where I could have been poured into. So I think for me, parenting plays a huge role, because if they're not have a circle of things and they don't have a connection or a network or anything like that, it's hard to pass that on to your children, for sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Friend to the show and birthday boy, Demetrius, is in the building. D, what's your take on red flag friendships, man? Think he's listening in.
I guess
he's just listening in. Go ahead.
I think, I forgot the name. My apologies.
It's
I'm old.
It's okay. It's okay.
Christine.
All good.
I think what Christine said is very important about social status as well. I grew up with my grandparents as well, on the flip side, I see it two ways. So I didn't have a lot of friends when I lived with my mom. My cousins were my friends, but then they had friends that were people I wouldn't associate myself with. And I got picked on a lot. It was this one kid, God rest his soul, picked on me like none other. But I was a loner. So I had to stay to myself. I didn't hang out with some neighborhood boys. That wasn't me. When I lived with my grandparents, I was always by myself. There were no kids in my neighborhood that I hung out with. So to have that, you know, those friendships was important to me, but it didn't necessarily even faze me either. Like, I was okay in being in solitude. It wasn't until I became an adult is then I realized I didn't know how to be a good friend. I knew how to be a friend, but what kind of friend? And I think one of the things that I've grown into is, again, like I was saying earlier, that's about validation. Like, been validated, you're searching for something. You're searching for friendship. And I felt like I've done a lot of searching and not necessarily creating friends. So I think what you said is interesting, that social status, people look down on you because you're not in a particular social status. People look down on you because you don't have certain things. And people also don't want to be your friend because they're jealous of you. They're your friend, but they're really jealous of you secretly.
So what do you say to that friend? What do you say to that person that you thought was your friend that you found out wasn't your friend now that you've grown? What do you say to that person?
Nothing.
Some words, but they're not appropriate.
I was thinking that too, but I'm the queen.
Now y'all
want to
be appropriate? Now y'all want to be appropriate? That's what we're doing?
Which version of me? Which version of me you want me to respond to?
Whatever version stands out the most.
Okay,
to you
cool. I would say pre was fuck you and a whole bunch of cuss words.
Yeah.
And I would say like semi healed me because it's not fully healed. I'm the queen of ghosting now. I don't really have nothing to say. I don't have the energy to really explain. I just drift. And I'm not saying it's positive. I'm just telling you where I am right now. I just kind of distance myself. I don't go to every little function. I pick and choose when I want to respond to you. I really just don't have the energy to have that conversation. And so I'm the queen of that. I think that I will say that I am the type of person, I live in my truth. So I've given you multiple conversations prior to that point as well, though. And you just didn't listen to it. And I'm not going to keep repeating myself. So I'll have conversations. I call them tune-ups. I'll have a tune-up conversation real with you real quick. Hey, what you doing right now is not working for me. And this is why it's not working. The most simple, superficial conversation fellow educators, I'm noticing we all together because I'm hearing everybody say they, and this is what I just told a student today. As a friend, this is a superficial metaphor, bear with me, but this is what a friendship is supposed to be. If you said right now, hey, when you wear blue, it gives me a headache. You know what your friend's supposed to say? You know what? I won't wear blue ever again. You right. Because I don't even want to cause you pain. So what I'm saying to that is, if I have to continue to tell you what you are doing, it's not for you to understand or for me to explain why I don't like it. That's not your barrier for me to give. But if I tell you what you're doing is really getting to me to the point where it's not functioning and you continue to do it, then we just can't be friends. And that's where I'm
right.
at. That's where I'm at. And that it might sound very superficial to some callers in the space. And I will recognize that. But I think when you start to really choose yourself and really understand that somebody was willing to continue to cause you pain in the sense of friendship, you will understand how powerful that is.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
If you around somebody that causes you pain and you allow them to cause you pain, doesn't that just make you a damn fool?
Oh yeah, I've been a fool for a lot of people. You know, a lot of. I'm married now, happily, but yeah, I've been fools. But I'm no longer a fool. You know what I mean? I do agree. I do think that there's a point in your life that you just continue to sit in the pain. Yeah, you have it is no one else's fault but yours. I would even tell you as I'm talking to you right now, those friendships that I had, they were consistent. I was the one looking for inconsistent things in their consistency. They were trash, complete. And the signs were there. You know, like I saw it, read it, looked over the notes. But when you continue to accept that, you are a fool. So there's two paths that you need to pick then. Either you're going to be an old-ass fool or you're going to grow. And that's where the crossroad is going to be. But if you're going to pick old-ass fool, then you can't be mad when people are consistently attracted to your giving, to your being there, for you, for them to ghost mm-hmm. you, for them to take money from you. I've had friends in past relationships hit on men I was talking to. She did that to somebody else's friend. Why would I be friends with that? But I was. Because you know what we tell ourselves? Well, she didn't do it to me or he didn't do it to me, so I'm accepting
right.
where they are. No. Look at the pattern. The game has not changed. The players do, but the game has not. So
right.
I think that to your point, yeah, you either pick fool or growth. But knowing when you pick fool, you ain't growing in any area of your life. Because your friend is extremely detrimental to your growth at that point.
Awesome. Final thoughts on red flag friendships. We turn it over to the doctor of them all, Javon.
Find yourself better friends.
Good deal. Maurice. Did you shoot somebody in your head?
No, just set boundaries and take them.
Heard that. Christine?
Keep your eyes open and run.
Your eyes open and run. Watch out for that
run.
my final thought.
I started that whole thing.
You did.
My final thought would just be, you know you before you try to even enter into a friendship. And if who you describe you to be don't line up with what you see with who you connecting yourself to, then ask yourself the question, is it really worth connecting? You know, I'm just one of those people. I don't want nobody that's going to bring me down from where I'm going. And I don't have time to hit the brakes to get to my next destination. So, you know, if it's somebody that can't roll with you, then they shouldn't even be in the car. You know, you got to know how to drive. You got to know where you're going. And you got to know who's equipped to go to that route with you and go there with you. But nonetheless, we are excited and we thank you, Christine, for coming on tonight. Definitely got to get you back on the show. Definitely got to get you back on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
This has been a great, great episode. We definitely, listen, I'm doing a show. We're doing a show, I should say. Something that popped in my head was the show to speak how do I want to put it? Champagne newlyweds. And what I mean by that is newlyweds who entered into marriage with this high hope that they didn't realize was reality. So we definitely want to get you and your husband to come on for that and give us your aspect of marriage.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I was talking to somebody who's newly married. I've actually been talking to a couple people that's newly married, and they really are. They all said the same thing. Yo, this is so not what I thought it would be. And I was like, well, what the hell did you think? You know. But I definitely I told him, I said, you know, I never do a podcast because this is like the fifth. This today was like the fifth couple. Where they was just like, yo, you know, marriage ain't really, it's so blissful, but it's so not what I thought it would be. And I was like, what the hell did you think marriage was? You know, but yeah, so I was like, you know, I think I'm going to do a podcast on this. You know, we got a couple podcasts to get through. Next week's show I'm not even sure whose hands it's in next week. But to our listeners out there,
it would be mine.
Oh, that would be yours? Okay. to our listeners out there, listen, up until May the 2nd, I believe, or May the 2nd, April 2nd, we will be coming on every Tuesday at 8 p.m. up until April 2nd. So for the entire month of March, we will be coming on at 8 p.m. We thank you guys for rolling with us, for hanging out with us, for always being here with us. You know we love your comments. Once again, to our friend of the show, Demetrius E. Adams Jr., We want to send a birthday shout out to you, kind sir. We wish many more
happy
birthdays.
Happy birthday, oh man.
We wish you many. Oh, he's going to get you for that. We wish you many more birthdays.
I already called him old.
Oh, okay. To every listener that's out there who's celebrating your birthday for the month of March, we wish you a happy birthday. Also, for those who are celebrating history that they have made during Black History Month, we are all history makers. We just got to know what part of history we change in. But we definitely thank you guys for rolling with us. This has been a journey for us, and we're loving season two. You guys are the absolute greatest audience that we could ever ask for. So we want you guys to continue to tune in every Tuesday night. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/The Brothers Podcast. Check us out on IG, the same handle, The Brothers Podcast. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on, Apple Podcasts, And check us out on iHeart Radio Podcast, where we invade the airwaves every single day and every single week. If there's a show that you missed, by all means, we invite you to just go right to those good iTunes or iPods, iCast, Apple Podcasts, iHeart Podcasts, and check out the show that you have missed. We are working on Pandora Podcast at this time to get on air. I'm just waiting on some things to tune back from them. And we are also working on getting our nod into some NAACP Awards listening audience. We want you guys to really just continue to tune in. Who knows where this may go? You may see us soon on your television circuits. Who knows how this might turn out, but for all for what it's worth, we are enjoying you guys, and we hope that we're able to bring laughter to your day, but also bring hope to your vision that, you know, even through all of our joking and all of our seriousness, we definitely want lives to be changed even through this. So we want you guys to really just continue to listen. And until next show, I'm Andre Harris. In the city of brotherly love, we got Javon Bertrand. In the charm city, we got Maurice Stevenson. And in PG County, we got Christine, our guest for the night. And we are so excited for you. We wish you the best in all that you do. And anytime that you need the brothers, know the brothers got your back.
Before we go, I want to ask Christine a question. Where do you teach?
Oh, in D.C.?
D.C. But that's another story for another day.
we need a whole week to talk about that.
I'm in PG County. PG County.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Okay. But go ahead, bro. We're going to talk again.
All right, no problem.
All right.